Okay, here we go. We'd like to welcome everybody who is listening to our study. We're finally getting going again. We're doing the book of Jonah. And we have around the table today, in case you remember who was here last year. This is a new year. And we have Marlene here, Van Hove. We've got Norma Lubinius. Is it how do you say it?
Lubinus.
Lubinus. I know I wasn't saying it right. Sharon would correct me all the time. That's not how you say the name. Sharon is here, my wife. Dave Convey is here, and his bride, Jan, who have been taking naps together since kindergarten. And we have Karen Weber here as well. That's all that's here today. Just want you to know that Dave has lost hearing in both ears, but he's still here. And he's going to fill out his worksheet that I hand out to everybody today as well. So thanks for joining us, whoever and wherever you may be. And we're going to start with Jonah. Just a little opening here. Jonah is found in the blank testament. Where do you find the book of Jonah?
Old
Testament.
1,186 pages. Kind of towards the back end of it.
Another question is, this is kind of an introduction to the book of Jonah here today. We're only going to go after, we're just going to look at the first three verses of the first chapter. But there's a lot of other history things that go along with this. Jonah is one of the blank prophets books. Prophet books.
Minor?
Very good. Minor. There's major prophets and there's minor prophets. How many major prophets are there? Time's up. There are five. And there's 12 minor prophets. So when you look at the Old Testament, it's always broken down 5 and 12. The books of the law, there's five books of the law. The very first five books are the books of the law. And then there's 12 books of history. And then there's five books of wisdom, or poetry, they call it. And then there is five books of the major prophets. And then there's 12 minor prophets. That's kind of how the Old Testament is broken down into. Okay, Jonah is only mentioned in this book in the Old Testament. True or false? What do you say? Who says true? Do a clogging dance on top of the table if you think it's true.
No clue, but I'll give it a shot.
It's false.
It's false. Jonah is only mentioned in this book in the Old Testament. No, Jonah is mentioned in the New Testament. Jesus even mentions Jonah himself. All right, next one. Jonah is a good story, but it never really happened.
That's false.
That's false, yeah.
People think it's true.
Yeah, you will hear that from liberal teachers or preachers, sometimes even from the pulpit. They'll say, well, it's just a good story, but it never really happened. And so I just say, well, that's false. If it didn't happen, then why would Jesus talk about Jonah and him being in the fish or the belly of the fish? So I believe that Jonah, the whole story, I mean, it's true. It happened. You know, it's some of it's like way out there, but it can happen. It's been documented of finding a man who was swallowed by a huge fish and lived to tell about it. They found the fish and they opened him up and the guy was inside and he was alive. And you go like, well, it can happen.
There was a story in the Reader Digest about that.
I probably read that story.
Yeah. I read that. That was just in the last Reader's Digest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Wow.
How long was he in the fish?
I don't
remember.
3 days.
How many?
3 days.
You was three. Okay, well, Jonah was. How about the guy in the Reader's Digest?
I don't remember that either.
I don't think he was in there that long.
Yeah.
But I don't remember exactly.
Yeah. I don't either. It was a girl, wasn't it? Didn't they go scuba diving or something? I can't remember. I took
I was thinking it was a guy, but he, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
They didn't rename the book The Reader's Digestion. That's one thing. Reader's Digest. But yeah, it has happened. It's documented. People have been swallowed by a fish and lived to tell about it. The last one there, Jonah is the first Hebrew prophet to be sent as a blank. Sharon, it's not right answer. It's not Israelite. He isn't.
You said Hebrew, but this is Israelite here. But as a missionary?
Yes.
Missionary?
Jonah is the first Hebrew prophet to be sent as a missionary. And the more we get to know about him, you will understand that more. Okay. That's just a little trivia on the book of Jonah. Now we'll get to number one. And if you haven't turned to Jonah in your Bible, you might have to look in the table of contents to find out where it's at. But if you do...
Page 1,100.
It's page 1,325 in my Bible. Jonah. So we're looking at just the first three verses. So why don't we read the first three verses of... Chapter 1 of Jonah. Someone want to read that?
The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai.
Good enough.
To the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord.
Okay. So number one, it says, when I think of a prophet and God speaks to him, I expect the prophet will finish the sentence. What do you expect? He'll listen. I mean, he'd listen to what God tells him to do. Did Jonah listen?
No.
He didn't.
But where did he think he was going to run?
I know.
I think they would obey, too.
Yeah, you think they'd obey, they'd listen to the Lord when he talks to them. But we find that Jonah did not. He ran
away.
Number two, when the word of the Lord came to Jonah, what did he do? We answered it.
Yeah.
He ran away. He went in the opposite direction of where God wanted him to go. Do you know of any other prophet who did this? Do you think of any other? I don't know if he's coughing or sneezing. Any other prophet you know of or comes to mind that did not listen to God but went his own way?
Well, prophet.
Or person.
Moses wasn't crazy about.
Well, I got Moses. I got Moses down here. Moses. I mean, Moses was. I'd still call him a prophet. What about Moses, did you say, Norma? I'm sorry.
Well, he wasn't crazy about his task either.
Well, no, he wasn't. You know, and he also, he fled. But God got a hold of him at the burning bush in Midian, which is a long ways from Egypt. He's herding sheep. And then God tells him to go back. But Moses came up with a lot of excuses why he shouldn't be the one to go.
All the Israelite nation, when they came to Jericho and to cross into the promised land, they said, 10 of the spies, said, no, and 2 said yes, but so they didn't listen to God. And then they had to wander for 40 years, because they didn't listen.
And they died there.
Yeah, right. They never did get to go into the promised land.
Yep. Okay, so, Moses, 10 spies that went in to seek out the promised land. He could be part of that. What part of God's message did Jonah not like? We're on number 3 on the work on the handout. What part of God's message?
He didn't want to go to Nineveh.
Yeah, he didn't like the idea of going to Nineveh. And then especially to go to a wicked city and to tell them that God's going to destroy him. in so many days. So, I mean, he didn't really want to go there to preach either. So what parts in the Bible do people not like to hear today? What are something that people don't like to hear today that's in the Bible that God says? Okay, we'll just move on.
They're sinners?
People don't like to know that they're sinners? Be called sinner? Okay. Can be, yeah.
Or that there's a hell.
Okay, people want to hear about hell. Yep. Don't like to hear about obeying God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Obedience. Sometimes don't want to hear anything about money. What does God say about money? He says he has a lot to say about stewardship and what that really means. Anything else that come to mind? Parts of the Bible that people do not like to hear today. Can be evangelism. Go tell others about Jesus.
Mission work.
Discipleship. You know, you just want to be a believer. I don't want to really be involved with anybody.
I don't want to do the work.
Yeah. But I want to be discipled, but I don't want to disciple anybody else. So. Number four, what was Nineveh to Jonah? You have to put yourself in Jonah's shoes or his sandals. What did he know about Nineveh? Well, A, Nineveh was the largest city of the Assyrian Empire. So this is no little small village that God has told him to go to. He's called him to the largest city in the Assyrian
Empire.
Assyrian Empire.
So if they're in an Assyrian Empire, they weren't even Jews, were they?
No.
They weren't.
They were Gentiles.
Yeah.
So he's asking a Israelite.
Yeah.
A Jew to go and preach to a Gentile city. A large, and it's in the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had King Putin there.
Really?
He says, for their wickedness, they come up before me.
Yeah, I mean, they were barbarians. I mean, they put a lot of fear in people because they did not treat their the ones that they captured or whoever they would conquer, they would treat them very badly. I actually think it's the Syrians that would take kind of like fish hooks with a chain on it. They would run that through their captives. And so they'd march them back to Assyria with a kind of like a fish hook. I don't know where the fish hook was they would pierce their captives and put a chain on there so that they couldn't run away. But can you imagine the pain that would be like? And of course, they didn't care who, you know, they didn't look at you as human beings either. You know, just like today we hear of, you know, the missiles, the bombings of civilians in Ukraine. I mean, doesn't that cross the line? Usually it's military against military.
Yeah.
But here it's purposely killing civilians, which I just go like, that's just unheard of. But there's a lot of other wars going on in the world that we don't know about. And things in the past have gone on. But if you look at the history of Russia, Lenin and Stalin, brutal on their own people. And if they ever attacked somebody, I mean, they were brutal. I mean, they didn't care about their own military. Just like kind of the Chinese, when they built the wall. They didn't care about the population or the people who were building it. They were slaves. They were subhuman type of a thing. So the Assyrians gradually absorbed the blank. The Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom of Israel. They eventually did that. And guess where Jonah lived? He lived in the northern kingdom, a place called Gath Hepher.
How do you spell that?
Well, Gath is one word, and then the next word is Hepher. It's H-E-P-H-O-R. So Nineveh was a city that was surrounded by a 7.5-mile brick wall. That's kind of the wall surrounded the city. And it had 15 city gates around this wall, some places around this wall. This gives you the idea of the size of the city of Nineveh. And if I believe Nineveh, they could take a horse and chariot to actually go around this wall. It was that thick. It was just a monster of a wall that Nineveh had.
How did they do it?
I don't know. There's a lot of things you look at and go like, "How?" And like, "How did they build the pyramids?"
Yeah, I know.
And you look at the Wall of China.
Yeah.
The Great Wall. You go like, how in the world did they do that? And it's on steep. Mm-hmm. Steep.
Rugged terrain.
And rugged terrain. I just go, I don't understand it. But a lot of things have been built by people forced to build type of a thing. So.
Well, they're putting sewer past my house and I can't figure out how they're doing that. They're pouring the street out.
Yeah.
And they're boring pipes under the ground, but I don't know how they're doing it. Yeah. I just see the pile of pipe disappear.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's amazing.
A lot of things that we just, once you figure out how they do it, you go like, oh, okay, but we never figured out otherwise. D, Nineveh is located by the Tigris River in the country of blank today. Where do you find the Tigris River today? What country would you have to go to see the Tigris River?
Egypt?
Nope.
No.
Too far west.
What city?
So we have to go east. What country today would you find the Tigris River? Iraq.
I wasn't saying that.
Oh.
Iraq. That's kind of where you find the Euphrates as well. The Euphrates and Tigris rivers are found in Iraq.
Hmm.
And E, Nineveh was the blank place where Jonah wanted to go.
Last place.
That was the last place he wanted to go. God told him, go to Nineveh and preach against judgment. That's, you know, that either they're going to repent or their city's going to be destroyed. When Jonah heard that, he said, not me.
Yeah.
Not me. I'm not going there. Okay, now we look at, was Jonah a historical person? So what we mean by historical is that was he really a real person that lived in history? And if you look at 2 Kings 14, 25, what does that verse say?
He was the one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, spoken through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath Hepher.
Okay. What was Jonah's dad's name?
Amittai?
The same one that you see in verse 1, right? Jonah, son of Amittai. Mm-hmm. So we've got a record of him in the Old Testament. If you look at Matthew 12, 39 through 40, what do you find there? So the time frame for 2 Kings that Sharon just read is 793 to 753 BC. Kind of the time in history, 793 to 743 BC. Because they know that that's when King Jehoiakim II reigned. So what does Matthew 12, 39 to 40 say?
He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth."
So who's talking there?
Jesus.
Does Jesus lie?
No.
He doesn't. So Jesus verifies that Jonah is a real person. He actually was a real person. Lived in history. Lived on this earth. Luke 11, 29 through 30. Remember who Luke is. You know, he's not only a doctor, but he's also what? Luke is also a historian. So he's looking for facts. So what does Luke say? 11, 29 through 30.
As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Mm-hmm. For as Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation."
Okay. So Luke, as a historian, he concludes that Jesus said himself that Jonah was a prophet, was a real person. So I'm just kind of stating this so that you know, if you find it in God's word, that we talk about Jonah, he was a real person. Because you're going to hear sometimes either on radio or TV or who knows who you may listen to by social media, well, they'll try to tell you that he never lived. It was just it's just literature, it's folklore, it's just a story. It never really happened. And I just want you to know that, hey, if it never, God's word is God's word. You don't mess with God's word. If he says it's true, it's true. All right, so you got a, in the back of your Bible, you do have maps. You probably don't look at that very often. But I want you to find a map on in your Bible, in the back of your Bible, of find Nineveh. First of all, find where Nineveh is.
I've got a little map right here on my side notes. Is that good enough?
Teacher, what do I have? Whatever works. Whatever works. But find Nineveh on the maps that are provided in your Bible, and I got to find it first here. Okay, I found it. So, I mean, you're going to have to, if you find the Tigris River, you're going to find that Nineveh is right alongside the Tigris River. So that means you have to look at what part, what country?
Iraq.
Yeah, today would be Iraq.
Well, what is it there?
Here it would be
Syria.
Actually, it's Assyria, in Assyria at the time.
All right.
So you have to go further east.
Way too many maps in here.
So if you look at the first map, I guess that's where I found it on mine, the first map. World of the Patriarchs. You got Nineveh. Well, let me get out of my chair and take in some deep breaths and walk around. Help you find Nineveh. Okay. Is that map one?
Yeah, map one.
Okay. Try another map.
Mm-hmm. We're sticking by the...
You know, there's none that goes further to the... Excuse me.
Here, the Near East.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Where you find Nineveh? You find it there, Marlene? Nineveh?
I don't even think I'm even on the right map right now.
Well, it's okay. Well, there it is.
Oh, okay. I'm just looking at that map.
Well, it's just good. Nineveh is here. Where did Jonah catch a boat?
At Joppa.
At Joppa. Joppa is down here. So you just want to see that this is where Nineveh is.
Have you been to Joppa? Oh, you don't even have a map.
That's okay. I mean,
then Jonah goes up Joppa. There's Joppa.
Okay.
Here's Nineveh.
And so you find that, boy, that's a long ways from Nineveh.
You had to go a long ways.
Yeah.
Joppa was
back in those days, yep. It was.
And so he got onto a boat at Joppa, and in which direction did he go on the boat?
Joppa.
East. Didn't
that way. Which is further away from Nineveh. Did you find it, Karen?
Yeah.
Or you had footnotes, you didn't
have. We'll see, I got.
Oh, yeah, you got there. You got that right here. Sure.
That's
what you need.
I didn't.
There's Joppa.
Okay.
Yep, there's Joppa.
The Black Sea, the Caspian.
And so,
here's the Great Sea.
Let's
that's
go.
I thought it was along here. But now I'm not. Because we visited it when we landed in Israel.
Here's Nineveh.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Nineveh, so I mean, Joppa is way down here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Joppa is south of Nineveh?
Oh yeah,
isn't
south,
it on
south,
the Mediterranean?
Southwest. Yeah, Joppa's
okay.
Right on.
We can't find it on here.
It isn't big enough map.
Because he must have gone over this way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see Joppa. But...
Where's that?
Oh, it's down that way. Okay.
Down here. It would be up in this area here.
Okay.
So you just find that he goes opposite direction. Gets on a boat here, and he goes this direction, away from it. But then I want you to find Tarshish.
Tarshish.
Because that's where he was headed.
What country was that in?
Spain.
Tarshish was in Spain?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Tarshish is Spain. You probably don't have a map that goes that far to the west. You know. So just, you know, I guess just take my word for it. Tarshish is in Spain. Which is a lot further away from Nineveh.
So Karen, does your little Bible show all of those towns?
It doesn't show Tarshish.
Oh, okay.
It shows Joppa.
Okay.
Mediterranean Sea, Red Sea.
Okay. That's fine. I
never
just wondered.
Did my geography. Didn't have that on Jeopardy.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know, and it's possible that I read that out of some other book where Tarshish
was in Spain.
Is in Spain. Because so, I didn't have it in my map here either. I got Spain over here, but it doesn't say Tarshish.
See, I got Italy and Sicily, but I don't have Spain.
Yeah, see, Spain goes way to the west.
That's a long way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, in Jonah's mind, he wanted to get as far away as possible from Nineveh. And that's why he got on the ship. The ship was going to Spain. So he felt that he was going to get away from what God had asked him to do. So he's going in the opposite direction from Nineveh. When God tells him to go to Nineveh, he's going in exactly the opposite direction. All right, 7 on the worksheet. We'll go back.
What's interesting about these places?
What's interesting? Just that they're real places.
Okay. It was the question.
Is there?
Oh. What do you find interesting about these places?
Okay. Well, it's really that every place is further away from Nineveh.
Yeah.
He's going in the opposite direction from where God wants him to go.
All right.
So we look at number 7. Look at all the things that fell into place for Jonah as he ran from God. In order to list them. Here's what fell into place. When he got to Joppa, what did he find there?
A ship.
A ship. Yeah, he found a ship. So if he found a ship, he also was a guy that also had what?
Money.
Money. He had to buy a ticket or buy his way to get on the ship to go to Spain. And when he first took off, he had clear
sailing.
It was clear sailing. And in Jonah's case, he thought he was going in the right direction. So it brings us to this point. Can we trust our circumstances? He's got everything going for him here. But he's running away from God. So can we trust our circumstances?
No.
Answer is no. What do we forget?
God's plan.
God's plan. Yep. Counsel of other believers as well. You know, asking other believers, what do you think? Am I running away or am I really doing what God wants me to do? 8. How do people run away from God today? What are some things that come to your mind and how people run away from God today? They don't. We're much more civilized.
No. Well, we become self-centered and don't want to listen to God.
That's... Okay, yeah. Did you hear that? Norma said, you become self-centered and you don't want to listen to God. That's very true.
You don't attend church.
You stay away from church. Yeah. If you want to learn things about the Lord, of course, you know, like nowadays, that's not always true. I mean, there's some churches you should stay away from. Never used to be like that. People can justify their own actions. They know they're not living for the Lord, but maybe they don't even know that, you know, but they just figure that the way they live their lives is nobody's business but their own. They don't need anyone to tell them what they're doing is wrong. They live by a truth is relative. We live in a day in which truth is relative. Whatever you think truth is, that's what it is. Yeah. Don't let anyone else tell you that you're wrong. And I'm going like, man, God is a God of rights and wrongs. To me, there's absolute truth and there's absolute false things. A lot of people today say, well, you cannot live in a world today where you believe in absolute truths. You know, and I just go like, you sure can. You sure can. All right, look at Luke 15, 11 through 16. Here we find what is it like for the person who runs away from God. I think you'll know this.
It tells about the wayward son.
It's about the prodigal son. Yep, it's a good parable. What is it like for a person who is like a prodigal son who runs away from God?
Well, he gets drugged back too, just like Joe.
Well, you know, it's only fun for a while. And once his money's gone, it's not fun anymore. All the friends that he once had, he finds out what about his friends? They really weren't his friends. They were just his friends because they could just sponge off of him. They were leeches. And it wasn't until he was in the hog pen did he realize how good he had it with his father. So you may run away from God, but sooner or later you're going to realize that that's what you're doing. You're not being obedient to what God has asked of you to do. So the last one on here says, what would you consider is your Nineveh today? How are you like Jonah? Is that what it says?
Mm-hmm. That's 11.
How are you like Jonah? What would you consider is your Nineveh today?
So you mean a place that we don't want to go to?
Probably. Besides home, where do you not want to go to, Sharon?
Okay, the only thing I can think of is Las Vegas. I don't desire to go there.
Sin City, Las Vegas. Yeah?
You want to go to Las Vegas?
No!
Me neither.
I've driven through Las Vegas and never stopped.
I've been there many times.
Oh.
You have been there?
Oh, yeah.
You have? I've never been there.
Oh, wow. It isn't a city of sin. It's a beautiful city full of fun. There's shows, there's music, it's pretty, there's lights, and yes, there's gambling, but I consider it a game.
Yeah. Well, that's just one city in the world.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
But I've had a lot of fun in Las Vegas. Yeah. It was a good weekend getaway.
Took your mind off of everything, I suppose.
Well, it was just fun.
How long were you there? How many days?
Usually three.
That's all?
Go on Thursday and come home on Sunday, or go on Sunday and come home on Thursday. There were cheap trips.
Oh. That's cheap. The food used to be cheap there.
Oh, yeah. Lodging, food, everything.
But now it's not that way
anymore. No. The last time I was there, it was different.
Yeah.
Oh. But that's been over.
You know, why the change? Why did they change that? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. Grubby, I suppose.
Maybe they knew that people came just to...
Well, I think part of it is Las Vegas took a real hit when all these states allowed gambling in the state. It used to be when we went to Las Vegas, there was no gambling in Iowa.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. We didn't necessarily go for the gambling. We went for the food, mm-hmm. the beauty of it, mm-hmm. you know, and the shows. There are a lot of good shows there. I saw a lot of good shows. Famous people, you mm-hmm. know. I loved it. And it was
Wayne Newton?
Yeah, saw him all.
We saw Elvis, and it was absolutely...
You saw Elvis live? When he was alive? It was not an impersonation.
No, it was live. It was probably the greatest show I've ever seen.
Is that right?
It was fantastic.
I never saw Elvis.
It was in 1970. One or two.
Yeah, but that'd be early 70s.
That was before I went out there.
Because he died in like 77 or 76?
I don't know what day.
77. I think he died in 77.
Is that right?
August of 77. I remember it just like it was yesterday.
I remember Liberace's show. That was a good show.
Mm-hmm. Liberace.
Yeah, I saw Liberace. It was good.
Wonder what happened to all of his outfits.
It's probably in a museum somewhere.
I mean, he had fantastic,
flashy
stuff.
His piano's gorgeous.
Feathers, big feathers, and all that stuff. Yeah, well, we covered Las Vegas.
We would drive right through Las Vegas and never stop.
Oh.
We were there once, and that was enough. And
food was wonderful. Yeah.
No. Give me Iowa.
It's pretty arid area, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Deserty. Palm trees there? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But basically, how far is that from like the Hoover Dam? Is it quite
a ways? Very far.
It's not very far.
You lose all your money, that's where you go. To see the Hoover Dam.
That's why they put the dam there, huh?
We would stay on a bus. Hoover Dam, but... Well, not in Las Vegas itself.
But now you can't drive across the Hoover Dam. They got that big bridge way up there. I don't know what they call it. There's got to be a name for that bridge.
I've been down inside of it.
You could do that. You used to be able to do that, but now you can't even do that. You got to go across this huge bridge, and you look down. It's huge.
They'd say, Norman, what are you going to do today? Well, I lost all my money. I had to go to the damn dam.
Right, the bus.
How about in around this area? What would be your Nineveh in this area? Spencer? Fostoria. I don't have an answer for this one either, but it just makes you think, okay? Jonah went the opposite direction. That's very human. When God asks us to do something,
place. It could be.
It can just be a person's.
Well, but even just something that, well, something that I do that I don't like to do and I don't want to do. Well, that wouldn't work, I guess. I mean, I just want to go away from that. Mm-hmm. But it never goes away.
Well, you can run, but no matter where you go, God puts a similar thing in your way until you learn how to deal with it. Depend on Him to deal with it. So, all right, well, that's our first three verses there of Jonah. We just have him where he went to Joppa. He found a ship, and he paid his fare. He went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. He's running away from God. So everything, according to Jonah at this point in time, he's probably carefree and thinking that he's got the world by its tail.
Wow.
We'll find out next week what happens next.
We didn't talk about why they threw Jonah in the sea.
That's next week.
Okay. Talk about that next week.
That's next week.
I think of a little bit. In my younger days, I